Door is always open.
All right, legislators, if you could please find your seats. Good evening, everybody. I'm going to call the December 17th, 2024 regular meeting of the Ulster County Legislature to order. If I could ask everybody to please stand for the pledge, followed by a moment of silent reflection.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you, everybody. It's with gratitude and humility that I acknowledge that we are gathering on the ancestral homelands of the Mohican, Munsee Lenape, and Skatikook peoples, who are the indigenous peoples of Ulster County. To learn more about these tribes, past and present, please visit links available through our QR code. I call on Clerk Favella to read the announcements and call the roll.
Announcements. Fire evacuation plan. Please note that in the event of an emergency, the fire department has requested that legislators and all others move at least one block away from the county office building in order not to impede the firefighters in their duties. Cell phones. Please silence cell phones for the duration of the public hearings and of session. Microphones. Please be reminded to use your microphone when speaking so you are recorded for the official record. Roll call. Clinton. Here. Collins.
Here.
Corcoran.
Here.
Criswell.
Here.
Donaldson. Guevaras.
Present.
Green.
Here.
Hansett. Here. Harmon. Here. Hewitt.
Here.
Kitchen.
Here.
Kovacs.
Here.
Levine.
Here.
Litz.
Here.
Lopez.
Here.
Maloney.
Here.
McCullough.
Here.
Nolan.
Here.
Roberts.
I am here.
Sperry.
Here.
Stewart.
Here.
You should tell.
Here.
And Walls.
Here.
There are 22 present and one absent.
Tonight we have three public hearings. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak. We encourage you to speak and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. Clerk Favella, can you call the first hearing?
Absolutely. Tonight's first public hearing at 6:11 is on proposed local law number 12 of 2024, local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster, local law 10 of 2008 in relation to certain employment restrictions.
And do we have anybody signed up to speak?
We do not.
Is there anybody present here tonight who would like to speak on local law number 12? Anybody present who would like to speak on local law number 12? And a third and final call for anyone who would like to speak on local law number 12. Seeing none, I ask for a motion.
Chairman, I'll second the motion.
And a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on. Clerk Favella, can you please call the second public hearing to order?
Tonight's second public hearing is on proposed local law number 13 of 2024, a local law amending Article 2 of the Administrative Code for the County of Ulster to remove certain employment restrictions.
And is there anybody signed up to speak?
There is no one signed up.
Is there anybody present who would like to speak on proposed local law number 13? Anybody present who would like to speak on proposed local law number 13? And a third and final call for anyone who would like to speak on proposed local law number 13. Seeing none, I ask for a motion to adjourn.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion that we close the public hearing.
Thank you. And a second. Thank you. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. And Clerk Fabella, could I ask you to please call to order the third and final public hearing? No.
Point of order, it's 6:13.
We need to I'm sorry, we have to wait. Talk amongst yourselves for 2 minutes. We advertise these publicly, and so we can't call them until the actual time that we advertise them. So we advertise this for 6:15, and so we've got a minute to wait. But we have to follow the procedure, so there you are. Talk amongst yourselves for a minute. Like that, no. No. Clerk Fabella, can I ask you to call the third public hearing to order?
I am happy to do that. Tonight's third and final public hearing is on naming a county-owned asset, naming the county office building, the Nina Posterpack office building.
And do we have anybody signed up to speak?
We do. We have one speaker signed up, and that is Phil Cosme.
Good evening, sir. Good evening. Phil Cosme, 278 Washington Avenue, Kingston, New York. I'm here to oppose the naming of the building, but supporting the naming of the hallway and floor number 2. I've known Nina her whole time in office, and I've known other county clerks. And to name a building after one clerk is disrespectful of all the ones that came before and all the ones that are going to come afterwards. I believe public buildings should be not named for people, but just designated what they are. Ulster County Office Building, City Hall, Town Hall. it's no disrespect to Nina. She did a very good job as a county clerk. So, but naming the hallway, she kept that thing, you know, with history and information. So I think that's appropriate. So, thank you.
Thank you, sir. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? Yes, please. Good evening.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. My name is Paul O'Neill, and I thank all of you for giving me an opportunity to speak on this matter. I had the privilege of knowing Nina for 30 years. I had the even greater privilege of working closely with her for the last 15 of those. And I do understand the significance of naming a building after somebody. I think Nina deserves that. Nina was exceptional. Nina was one in a million. I think we can all agree on that. But even that sells her a little bit short. You know, when you're naming a building after somebody or you're creating a monument to somebody, there's two reasons. One, to honor that person, to honor their life work, to honor the achievements and the contributions that they've made. And I think in that level, Nina did an exceptional job. But there's another reason, and that's to inspire others so that they see that monument and perhaps they strive to be a little better. To try to be like that person. I can think of few people that inspired as Nina did. She did it in such a way that It made it even more special because Nina, not only did Nina not need recognition, she didn't want recognition. She made all of us better. She is what we should all aspire to. I would hope that my daughter would be inspired and move towards them and try to be the model that Nina was. If I have grandchildren, I hope they'll do the same. And I hope that someday I could bring them here or they could come without me and see this as a monument to everything that Nina did. Not what she did administratively, not what she achieved in the office, but what she represented, because she made us all better. She made us all realize that we're a huge part of this community. I don't think you can say anything better. We could do much worse. I don't know that we could do much better. So I support the naming of this, and I would hope you do as well. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? Anybody else who would like to speak on this subject? And a final call for anyone who would like to speak on this subject. Seeing none, I call for a motion.
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to close the public hearing.
And a second? Second, Legislator Kitchen. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Moving on to birthdays. I'd like to announce birthdays for the month. Legislator Eric Kitchen, December 5th. Legislator Herb Litt, December 6th. Financial analyst Natalie Kelder, back there in the corner, December 7th. Minority Leader Kevin Roberts, December 8th. Happy birthday. Legislator Joe Maloney, December 13th. Technology Support Specialist Tyron Rogers, December 15th. And Administrative Support Specialist Michael Tierney, December 26th. Happy birthday, everybody. I ask for a motion to dispense with the reading of the previous meeting minutes.
Move to dispense with the reading of the minutes.
Minority Leader Roberts. Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Thank you. Communications. There are various communications listed and on file in the clerk's office that remain available for inspection by those interested. Please contact the office of the clerk. We're going to move into public comment now. At this time, we'll move into a period of public comment regarding resolutions on the agenda. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on resolutions before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone keep their comments respectful. There will be a time to speak on issues not before the legislature toward the end of session. If you need to reference the agenda, we have QR codes available. Clerk Fabella, do we have anyone signed up for public comment?
We do. We have 4 speakers signed up. The first speaker signed up is Aaron Kozlowski.
Hello, my name is Aaron Kozlowski. I'm here tonight speaking in regard to the Family of Woodstock program, and I know I'm not going to be able to get this done in 2 minutes. I had reached out to Gina because I was told to and had not heard back. So I want to clear up a couple of things that were mentioned in the previous meetings that I was not allowed to speak at. And one of them was when I was in the probation office and I was speaking to the probation officer. It was stated very, very clearly that I was not allowed to leave the state. Also, with this program, we did not feel it was optional. I was also contacted by somebody of Family of Woodstock asking me when we wanted to start and meet with them, and I said, we're not going to do this program, and they asked me, well, do you want this to go back to the courts? And I said, it never went to the courts. And to me, it felt like a threat, because when I said it never went back to the courts, is this what you typically do? And he said, well, yeah, that's where it's going to go. And I said, can you please put that in writing? And he said, not like in a rude way, but he was like, well, you have a nice day. That's it. The probation officer that we spoke with, I was hoping that you guys would have some of that paperwork to see what we actually did sign on. The only thing I ever signed off on was for them to take a photo of my son because he was a minor. He was 15 years old. We never agreed to anything in this program, and the whole time we felt like it was being forced on us. If we did not do this, that this kid was going to be completely punished. Like I said, I'm not going to have enough time to talk about this. I really wish you had have called me back so that we could have spoke. I made time. My dad's been in the hospital, and I still waited.
If you could not direct to one legislator, thank you.
Okay, I'm done. Thank you.
Thank you so much.
The next speaker is Larry Waite.
Could you call the name again?
Larry has something to help get to leave. He apologizes.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Amy Pettit.
Good evening. I also am speaking on the family of Woodstock. My son was involved in an incident and given an appearance ticket for probation through the 180 program, Family Woodstock, and treated very unfairly, treated like he had committed the worst crime he could possibly commit for a very minor infraction. And we were told we absolutely had to participate in this program. We got some legal counsel and were told differently. We felt harassed by Family Woodstock and probation. This was never seen before a judge. It was just gone before probation. I'm sure this program would work fine for children who are in and out of trouble, but my son's not one of those children. He's an honor roll student. He never misses a day of school. He works part-time. He is taking a trade at BOCES, and I feel like participation in this program would have made it difficult for him because he would have had to have missed school, and he would have missed work because he would have to go back and forth to probation to make all these meetings to make sure that he was making amends for something that he had already made amends for. And we explained that to the probation officer, and we were still told we had to participate. And it wasn't until I finally said, you can speak to my lawyer, that they finally stopped harassing us. So I don't feel that this program was beneficial. Maybe to some people it could be, but not to everybody. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Chris Allen.
Hi, I'm a former county legislator having represented District 2 in Saugerties and Malden and West Camp for two terms. I'm here to speak upon the issues related to mental and behavioral health funding in the Ulster County Resolutions Packet. Resolutions 643 to 655 are associated with various aspects of mental health services being funded for non-for-profit companies and agencies to provide such services to residents of Ulster County. When I was in the legislature serving on the Healthcare and Ways and Means Committees, I recall the funding for outsourced services for residential live-in services for adolescents and young adults with severe hyperactivity-related behavioral issues that are in the requirement of parents to seek supervision and guardianship assistance in need of these services. And at the time, the cost was $100,000 per resident. This was back in 2017 for a total of $1.7 million for 17 residents. With all the mental health reductions at Westchester County Medical since they took over for the Kingston and Benedictine area hospitals, there was a number of mental health beds that were cut and were never brought back during the COVID era and since then. And a lot of the residents and members of Ulster County government feel cheated and betrayed by Westchester Medical that they did this. What I would like to see is that there would be a developing a partnership between Ulster County government, the executive branch, the new commissioner of the health department with direction and participation of the legislature, where we try and find some of these services that maybe we can have, say, Westchester Medical provide them, or that even the government would take some of these back finding, you know, usable office space around Ulster County and figuring out administrative ways to make this work, because some of these services are very expensive and there's a limited number of vendors that put in bids for it when it goes out to RFP, and we end up having residents traveling 2 hours and further to get some of these services. So this would be good for the county. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Allen. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on an issue before the legislature this evening? Anybody else who would like to speak on an issue before the legislature this evening? And a final call for anybody who would like to speak on an issue before the legislature this evening. Seeing none, I'm going to move us on to the consent and non-consent agenda. Leader Uchtel, is there anything moving in or out of consent or non-consent?
There is. We have one resolution moving into consent, and that is 720. And we have a few resolutions that are coming out of consent and going into non-consent, and those are 654, 655, 676, 696, 708, and 729.
Any objections? Thank you. On the consent agenda.
On the consent agenda, we are short yes.
Short yes.
The resolutions are adopted 22-0.
Moving on to the non-consent agenda.
The first resolution in non-consent is Resolution 356, establishing a policy requiring consideration of use of hemp insulation in certain Ulster County capital construction projects.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, we just discussed this in committee the other day, and right off the bat, it was the majority of the committee attempted to postpone. There were some people missing from the committee. One person did not want to postpone, so the postponement failed. Then we proceeded to talk about this resolution for 15, 20 minutes and come up with more and more questions. Questions like, what does consideration mean? I mean, I'm with the sponsor on the idea of looking into the use of hemp in a lot of different ways. I'm also with him on being frustrated that the Environmental Committee and Economic Development will not help and not take time to look into this as well. But I personally asked about the definition of consideration. What does that even mean? How are we going to tell purchasing? How are we going to tell the executive branch of government to consider something if we don't even tell them what consider means? You know, the NFL has the Rooney rule, where they have to consider an African-American coach every time they fill a vacancy, and consideration is defined in their rule. They literally have to have an in-person interview with at least one minority candidate in order to achieve that, quote, consideration. So after all the discussion the other day in committee, after we failed to postpone, where the majority of the committee wanted to postpone, and then more and more questions, I think multiple legislators were there, kept saying, well, this is why we want to postpone to figure this out. Then they called the vote and unanimously put this through. I was confused. I didn't have a vote on this committee. I was there talking about other things, but I was just confused at how everybody wanted to postpone. More and more questions came up. Because the postponement was blocked by one legislator, they then decided to unanimously put this through with all these questions. Didn't make a lot of sense to me. Still doesn't make sense here. I think we ought to kick this back to committee and discuss it further and make sure that these things do get considered, because if we're going to start putting these resolutions up, which we've started to do this, that we want the executive to consider things, and we don't even tell them what that means. We were told by the executive branch of government the other night that this isn't a problem for them. No, piece of cake. Of course it's a piece of cake, because it doesn't mean anything. They're not doing anything. They said, yep, we considered it, if anyone even asks. So if we want policies to be followed, these policies have to be followable.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, the internal numbering of this resolution is Resolution 356.6. This is the sixth iteration of this resolution. It has been discussed in those various versions by multiple committees, including Public Works and the Environment Committee. So there's a great deal of common understanding about this resolution, what it is proposed to do. And the concern that was raised at the last minute about consideration, does illustrate a confusion. This is not going to be taken up at the level of purchasing a consideration where there's various legal ramifications. This is a policy that would have the Department of Public Works consider hemp for along with other insulators when it's doing certain types of projects. So there's no difficulty with this. It's easy to implement. It's clearly understood by the departments that would need to implement it and by the legislators who voted in favor of it. There were other considerations of whether we should make this resolution address other new alternative insulators, and that was the reason for there to be a consideration of postponing, is just to include other agents. But for hemp itself, this resolution does the work that it is needed to make sure that when we're doing a project, we do consider this quite very good insulator, which might be better than our standard conventional insulators for certain types of projects.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
I'm even more confused. We have a lot of men and women here from Public Works today. Maybe they can explain to us how they're going to consider hemp next time they're doing insulation in a building for us. And the idea that purchasing wouldn't be involved in the consideration of using a certain material that could cost more in a large capital project or something. It's just, I stand by everything I said before. And my colleague that I just heard from, I think, made the motion to postpone and was one of the ones saying that they were frustrated that we're not postponing to go and answer these questions. But now I hear everything's fine. And DPW, Public Works, will magically consider hemp.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes with two no's, legislators Gaveris and Maloney, and one abstention, legislator Collins, for purposes of employment.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 19-2-2, with one abstention, legislator Collins. The next resolution in non-consent is 469, establishing a pilot program providing a 24-hour convenience recycling center in Ulster County.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are short.
I'm sorry, Minority Leader, did you want to speak?
Thank you, Mr. Chair. This is a resolution I put forward with the Republican caucus. Recycling in Ulster County is at 21%, and according to the Resource Recovery Director, where this is used predominantly, it is over 40%, the 24-hour convenience recycling center. We could do it here. I was driving through one of the back roads in Plattekill the other day as a highway department, and there's a corner of the property that's not being used. And I said, hey, that'd be a perfect spot to put a 24-hour recycling center. And there's spots like that all throughout the county. And, you know, if DEC allows this, we could have several of these in every, not several in every town, but we could have a 24-hour convenience center in every town. And recycling will increase to well over 40%, like in Florida.
Legislator Nolan.
Yes, I think there's some interesting elements of this idea. We are not in Florida. We're in New York, and I understand there are some concerns that this type of facility, as proposed, is not legal. Those concerns were just raised recently, but one of the reasons to hold off on doing this at this time. In addition, having unattended facilities is not something that we do anywhere else in Ulster County, and we have a lot of feedback from all of those facilities that the on-site staffing is necessary in order to make sure that the recycling ends up separated in a way that allows it to be useful, and that done poorly can actually end up ruining materials that might otherwise be recycled. So I think this is an idea that to be operationalized and actually achieve the goods that are the good impact that is sought needs to be worked out. I think that there's a real potential for this to be abused and result in a problem that would become a cost to the taxpayers to deal with. So this isn't something that would be ready to go in its current form.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts for a second time. And then.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. To say this is not legal, and we just heard this tonight, is a new one. I've heard a couple of reasons why we can't do it. One is that these things are just going to combust and catch on fire magically. And we need to have a staff sit around and watch a bunch of dumpsters all day. Doesn't make any sense at all. No wonder why Florida is so much more efficient than New York. And this is not a new idea. I presented this in draft form back in February. It sat and languished in the Environment Committee for 6 months before I finally put this in a resolution form. And then everybody was surprised. Oh, we're not ready for this. They had plenty of time to discuss it and possibly tweak it to make it better. We need to increase recycling here in Ulster County, look at ways to hinder recycling. Thank you.
Thank you. I have Legislator Maloney followed by Legislator Litz.
Yeah, it's just frustrating to hear that over and over again, the legal stuff all the time. Everything's illegal when we don't want to do it. It's illegal. We'll get Wallens to have an opinion that it's illegal. Just a question through the chair to the sponsor. You are saying that this has successfully been done in Florida, in counties in Florida, and has raised from approximately 25 to 40% recycling rate. And is that what you're saying, Kevin?
No, I'm saying that.
I'll allow that question.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and I'm sorry if I jumped the gun on you. But the 40% number came from Deputy Executive Ryder, who did his research, and the number percentage recyclable in Florida is over double than it is in New York, and we should be ashamed about that. You know, and I can tell you that they don't ban straws or styrofoam in Florida. They recycle it, unlike here where, if we don't like something, we ban it.
Thank you. I have Legislator Litz followed by Legislator Collins.
Thank you. And actually, UCRR Executive Ryder said it was 50% in Florida. And they've been doing it for quite some time. And I believe there are some locations in New York State that do it now. A WECO, I believe, may do it. I don't see this being much different than our composting locations that we have around the county now that are not manned. They're 24/7. I've viewed a few. They're not, a bunch of garbage around or anything. They're quite neatly kept, and the people that use them know what they're doing, so it's I don't see an issue. I'm probably the only legislator this year that has volunteered, like I've done the past, I think, 3 years, at the Garlic Festival, which is striving to have zero waste, where the station I manned in the period of time that I was there generated a half of a garbage pail, 55-gallon or 30-gallon drum, of actual garbage. Yet there were 11 bags of recycled material, compostable material. We need to get to that point. We need to start recycling more. And this is an opportunity to be able to do that 24/7. It doesn't preclude the county putting out an RFP whereby it can be manned by an entity or that would not cost the county any money because they would probably recycle the material and that would pay for their men and electricity, whatever, at the site. I think this is a missed opportunity if we don't do it. And New York State's or Ulster County's 21%. We can do better.
Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Hewitt.
I agree that we need to do better in Ulster County. I don't know if this plan is the exact correct plan. I've lived in different areas of the country. I've seen other areas be able to have larger or longer recycling periods where you can actually drop stuff off. The town I live in, I can do it like 3 days a week. That makes it more difficult. That's why people don't do it as much as they want to be able to do it. So I do believe we need to increase the level of recycling. I'm willing to work with the minority leader and anyone else to come up with a plan that would be approved and okay to make it work. I don't know if this is it or not. It sounds like there's a lot of concern about the legality, which we've heard of today, and concern from basically how to manage this and maintain this in a safe way. But I do feel we need to do something different than we're doing now. I'm not sure exactly what that is.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt, followed by Legislator Stewart.
Thank you. I think I agree with Minority Leader Roberts that this is a good idea and important to address our recycling, especially as we start to move forward on the Reuse Innovation Center and we talk about a hub and spoke approach. This is a spoke approach to recycling that could be embraced by the transfer stations and the towns in the future. That's why we addressed it for so long in energy, environment, and sustainability, because we see the potential. But as we strengthen UCRA right now, we didn't think it would be a good idea to start building independent programs from UCRA, and I think we're going to revisit this in the new year.
Thank you. Legislator Stewart, followed by Legislator Walls.
I applaud the minority leader for putting this forward. I think it's a really interesting idea. But there's a couple of problems, at least that I see with the current plan. One of the biggest issues that causes problems with recycling is that of contamination. People will bring in food containers that have food remaining in them, jars that have food remaining in them. And if there's no one there to monitor that, people just simply don't pay attention to what they're doing. They throw things in a container and they don't separate them properly. This was one of the biggest factors that the county encountered during the last Ulster County Fair. So not having anyone there is a problem in that regard. In addition, we had multiple discussions about this in the Energy and Environment Committee, and I had suggested to Legislator Roberts that perhaps he approach one of the municipalities to perhaps put this forward as a trial program at one of the transfer stations for one of the municipalities. And I don't know if he reached out to those folks or not, but I think that might be a good way of pushing this idea forward. It should also be noted that Director Ryder of UCRA expressed grave reservations with this idea, as did Deputy County Executive Laval, representing the County Executive's Office. So with meeting problems from UCRA and from the County Executive's Office, I don't see how this is going to work. So for those reasons, I would encourage the minority leader to perhaps go to one of the municipalities and see if we could try this at a municipal level instead. And I would be totally in favor of doing that and would assist if I could.
Thank you. Legislator Walls, followed by Legislator Nolan.
I previously shared the story in committee. It was in April. I was in Nashville visiting my sister. My brother-in-law was cleaning up his garage. He had lots of cardboard and some other recycles, loaded it up in the trunk of his car, and we drove a short distance to the elementary school where they have these devices. There was like three of them, like big dumpsters, you know, clearly marked with sliding doors. To me, when you give 24-hour availability for people to recycle, it just naturally will increase recycling. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan.
The Garlic Festival has staffing to make sure that the compostable materials go in compost
and that the recyclable materials go in recycling. And it takes a huge volunteer force to make sure that that happens and for that to be successful. We're hoping to do something similar at the Ulster County Fairgrounds. And I think that is a direction to go. And we might reach a point where we have broad cultural understanding of what different kinds of receptacles go to. I would just raise some questions about using other states or other places as our guidelines, not only because they're on their face different states and have different settings, but in terms of Florida, if they're counting polystyrene, styrofoam, among their recyclables, they're counting things as recyclable that we don't consider recyclable. So they may have a higher rate because they count everything as being in a category recyclable, whereas we actually want it to be made into something else to be considered recyclable, and some of those products might not, we might not be able to raise our percentage by making these changes. We'd just be including more material that we already know is not recyclable as we use that term.
Legislator Maloney for the second time.
This is, it's just very interesting. We have the Republican caucus talking about how much greener Florida is in this way, the state of Florida more so than New York. The Republican caucus is telling us we can do a better job with recycling, we can recycle more. And then we have the Democratic side going, nah, New York can't handle what Florida can handle. We just can't pull this off. Even with the great environmentalist Jen Metzger, we have Manna sitting over here. We can't pull this off. The RRA, it can't be done. It might be able to be done in Florida. It can't be done here. And then contamination. If we really cared about recycling contamination, which is a real thing, we would be separating everything and requiring the separation of everything, like certain communities do. Single stream is a disaster. We'd also be ticketing, especially starting with the big haulers and ticketing, which we now have the right to do starting a couple of years ago when this body hired the judge or gave the funding for the RA to start ticketing people that were bringing in contaminated recyclables. But as far as I know, we haven't really done much of that. So the Democrats are here telling us there's nothing more to do, we can't do anything, and the Republicans are here to tell us we can do more, we can recycle more. It's a weird world out there, and a little disappointing, but not surprising, because it really does come just down to talking. We talk. My party talks all the time about caring about people, about caring about the environment. But when you're in these meetings and you really see, we don't care. We really don't care. We'll spend our money to do some silly thing, the Green Initiative, all things, all greenwashing, but we don't give a damn about the environment. If we did in this county, we'd work with the Republicans on 24-hour recycling. And let me just tell you this. If any single Democrat, besides me maybe, put this resolution up instead of Kevin, it would be unanimous. There would be no problems.
I have Legislator Collins for the second time, followed by Legislator Green, followed by Legislator Stewart for the second time.
I just want to point out that there is a state law that's stuck and not being passed called the PREA, which is the Packaging Reduction and Recycling Infrastructure Act. The purpose of that law is to do exactly what has been stated here, which is to make sure that everything is recyclable, that the company making the packaging takes back the packages so that it doesn't go to the waste stream. That's the way to solve this, is to support that bill. So call your Democratic Assembly member, Democratic Senator, and get them to pass the bill, because they're the ones that are sponsoring it.
Legislator Green for the first time.
Yeah, I do just want to say that years ago, Ulster County did achieve a documented 40% diversion, and we need to build from there, not go backwards. I learned to recycle from Pete and Toshi Seeger, mostly Toshi, at the Clearwater Revival. And the reason that it worked was we made it easy and it was supervised. I'm very concerned about an unsupervised site, but I will acknowledge that the composting sites that are managed by Greenway are doing very well. And we have other very capable recycling and composting businesses in the county. But I think supervision is necessary to prevent contamination. I also want to mention that we have 19 drop-off centers, and potentially if each one took a month and allowed a certain day of the week where they would be 24 hours and that could be published, then it would be supervised. It would move around the county. The other thing is whoever bids on this should pay for it, should be responsible for the contamination, should be responsible for the cost, and also then earn the value of the materials, because that will get them to do the education. But education and enforcement are key. And I think one of the reasons that we've slid backwards over the years is that we just haven't had the enforcement. I think that's going to change, and I hope it will. I hope all the departments and authorities and agencies will work together. We have a long way to go, but I made some suggestions and they didn't stick. So those are my concerns.
Thank you, Legislator Green. Legislator Stewart for the second time.
Just following up on what Legislator Green just said, Greenway Enterprises has been working with the town of Hurley in addressing composting there at their transfer station, and it's been a great success. Again, that is working with a municipality, and I would encourage the sponsor of this legislation to work with a municipality, and then we could see how that goes, and then perhaps if it's successful and if contamination is not a problem, and if there is not a problem with having a facility open 24/7, I think it's great. I think then we could look at it as, you know, on the county level. I wanted to point out that my colleague sitting next to me, Legislator Green, has been involved in environmental issues for 40 years.
More or less.
I don't want to date my colleague, but she has a long history of working on environmental issues. I have been involved in environmental issues myself for about 15 years, and so I do take some umbrage when our colleague says that we don't care, because that is simply not true. Thank you.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. You know, when many of us were children, we were told to recycle. There was a huge push around recycling in the 80s and 90s, and the corporations all got into it also. And I wonder why. Why did Coca-Cola want us to think we can keep drinking Coca-Cola and be happy with the environment, take that plastic bottle and just chuck it in the recycling bin and say that, you know, that's great, we're recycling, we've solved the environmental problem, right? We now know decades later that did not solve the environmental problem. A lot of things are not recyclable. The global market on recyclable goods, completely the bottom fell out. China doesn't want to buy our recyclables anymore. So if you broaden the definition of what's recyclable, sure, you're going to have more recycling, right? Some of us have to look at the plastic clamshells that we throw out, that we get our takeout food in, right? And we have to throw that in the garbage now, because we now know those things are not recyclable. There's nothing to do with that. It's just not recyclable. If we said it was recyclable, we could put it in a recycling bin and we could feel good about it, and then it's going to go sit in someone else's country and be part of a landfill somewhere else rather than a landfill here. We need to be clear-eyed about this, and just because we are going to broaden the definition of what's recyclable, and by the way, that's what this would do. If you have an unmanned facility, everyone's just going to chuck it all in the bin and get rid of it, right? Because obviously that's the cheaper way to do it, right? We don't want to pay any tipping fees, and it's recyclable, so it's good for the environment. But the reality is none of this stuff is recyclable. Not none of it, but a lot of the stuff is recyclable. And when you just put it all together and say it's recyclable, even though it's not, then sure, you're going to have more recycling. Obviously, we do things a slightly different way in New York State. We have one of the most stringent land use review laws around what you can do with property and the environmental consequences. they don't have anything like that in Florida. So, yeah, New York is a little bit different than Florida, and we're not going to just greenwash it, and we're not going to listen to corporations that just tell us we can recycle everything and keep consuming. We have to actually think about these things and stare the plastic clamshell in the face when we drop it in the garbage can, because that is where it's going to end up anyway.
Legislator Collins, you need to borrow time.
I'm not going to speak. Legislators, as you should tell, said it very powerfully.
Okay, I have Legislator Litz next, and then Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Unfortunately, I think we're a little short-sighted in this room. Years ago, a commingled glass was considered you couldn't use it. Don't recycle it. Throw it away. We now crush it and put it in asphalt and extend the life of our pavements. The clamshells right now maybe be dirty, but if we collected them, there's a use for them. You can shred them. You can add them in your embankments. Except for the flammability issue, which I believe they're going to conquer, you can turn it into asphalt pavement. But if we just don't collect these things and we don't recycle them, same thing with tires. For years, there were tire dumps all over this state. But now that we recycle and use chrome rubber, you don't see those dumps anymore. So we have to think beyond the end of our nose and come up with good solutions for these recycled materials, even the ones that we're not recycling now.
Legislator Hewitt for the second time.
Thank you, Chair Criswell. About 2 weeks ago, I was up at a recycling conference in Cooperstown, and Director Ryder and almost his whole staff was there. I learned so much from his staff, but also from all the workshops that I attended. I didn't see anyone else in the legislature, but we had an amazing time. I learned that a lot of people lie about their percentage of recycling, and they'll take a bunch of clamshells, shove it in with a bunch of actually recycling, bundle it, and call it a recycling bin. But a lot of it ends up in the landfill anyway. Last night I spent a bunch of time teaching my daughter and her boyfriend about wish cycling. They never heard of that term, but that's when we take a clamshell and throw it in the recycle bin and wish that it goes to the right place. Mm-hmm. But I have a new term called wishful industry. They're making things for us that we can't recycle. So what Legislator Collins mentioned is really important. It's called extended corporate responsibility, when corporations are forced to build things we can actually bring into our circular economy, so we know where things are coming from and where they're going to. The shredded thermoform plastic being in an embankment would create toxic microplastic runoff. Thank you.
On the resolution,
we are a short no with one yes, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes.
The resolution is defeated 9-13. Resolution 513, approving the execution of a contract for $100,000 entered into by the County Health Alliance Hospital, Mary's Avenue Campus, Department of Mental Health.
On the resolution,
we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution 526, urging the Ulster County Executive to implement the membership recommendations of the Ulster County Comptroller for the Ulster County Compliance Committee.
On the resolution,
we are a short no.
Short yes.
I'm a yes.
We are a short sure. No with one yes, Legislator Maloney.
Thank you.
Resolution 526 is defeated. 9 yeses, 13 noes. Resolution 527, approving the execution of a contract amendment for $123,341 entered into by the County Family of Woodstock, Inc., Department of Probation.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, we just heard from some parents. I had spoken to them and then three or four other families. Look, we had a couple of kids. Many of them were members of a church a church I'm a part of that's a stone throws away from my house, and there's been a vacant building there forever, a big brick building that I think the church is finally going to address. Five kids walked into that church. The door was broken. It was stated it wasn't. The door was wide open. No one is claiming these kids even damaged a single thing. This was the most innocent of little trespassing things. And these families were shoehorned into this, talking to a probation officer, talking to a former ADA, talking to someone that is the second in command of the public defender's office, who actually came to the meeting, knowing one of these parents, telling us how concerned he was. You know, talking to all these people, what we're worried about is it's about funding. We're putting these kids into a program they don't belong in, then telling their parents that we have to come check out your house. You can't travel. You're going to sit down with professionals, and they're going to rate your threat to the public and then tell the judge what your threat rating is. These kids never belonged in a program. We just saw the President of the United States recently pardon a judge and a guy. It was a scheme where they were forcing kids that got into trouble into these programs they didn't belong in. And I don't think we got enough answers. I don't think we postponed, but we didn't really get there yet, where we have to be sure that this program is doing more good than harm, and that our parents are being respected and not lied to and intimidated. And for a couple of kids that walked into a building and did no damage and walked out, we put their families through hell. One parent told me, you know, that they started calling the other parent and setting them against each other. You know, there's families that are divorced that aren't together, and we're getting in the middle of that to keep a kid that doesn't belong in a program so the funding keeps rolling. This was wrong, and it was just so wrong how these families got treated. And it's just another example of when you're just a little piece. You live on this road where this, you know, you live right next to Golden Hill on the road there where we hear from those people. There's always these examples of these little group. We just got a little subset of public works today that's about to get screwed, I worry. And nobody cares when it's just these little groups, just one little group of parents got totally treated poorly, and a program really has a lot of red flags, and we're just going to move right on because it's never enough. It's always just one street here or one group there, or one part of the CSEA there. We could screw them. It's not a big deal. It's not going to affect our election. It's not enough votes to hurt us. The media may not cover it very much, and away we go. We'll get away with it. We'll screw another group. Well, we screwed another group of parents, and we didn't hear them out. We didn't fix a program, and there will be more parents being treated poorly by this program, I worry.
I'm a no. Legislator Hansett.
Thank you, Chair. We have looked at this program, which is an optional program. Every family that reached out to me, I got back to, as I pride myself on that. Let it be noted, there also was a number of families that declined to further speak on their experiences. We have spoken to families. We have spoken to entities familiar with the program. I've spoken to school superintendents, principals. We have asked moving forward for quarterly reports, asking probation to provide written materials to the families so the program is outlined up front. Asking for data from probation and family of Woodstock moving forward also. We have opened up the dialogue and made it more accountable. FYI, I have been in touch with Legislator Maloney on all of this. It is a positive program, and with these tweaks and improvements, even better. I have heard the stories where programs like this one have truly had a positive impact on our youth. I am asking for support on this resolution because I care.
Thank you. Legislator Nolan, followed by Legislator Kitchen.
Legislator Hansett expressed all the thoughts that I would have expressed. Thank you.
Thank you. Legislator Kitchen.
Yes, I originally was going to vote yes on this program because I heard so many great things about it. But these parents that came here tonight were obviously distraught. One child's on the honor roll. I'm going to change my vote to no tonight. I think there's a lot of issues in New York State, bail reform being one of them. You could walk down the street, stab somebody, and you'd be out of jail in an hour, and we're going after children 15 years old who just walked in a church. Maybe some of these are true, so maybe some of these facts aren't true. But I think we should be wasting our money on more important things in this county, and this isn't one of them. Thank you.
Legislator Nolan, for the second time.
Thank you. Just when there is something like an occurrence in the neighborhood, there are many points at which a family and a young person can encounter this system. And that first point is a law enforcement agent. If that law enforcement agent issues an appearance ticket, then that sets forth a chain of events that we don't have control over. Some of the options that come in include a restorative justice approach, which is what Legislator Hamsett was talking about. Many, many young people are served very well by going through a restorative justice approach, which does not include their going in front of a judge, which does not put them at risk of having a judgment that they are guilty of a crime go on their record. So there are many advantages to a restorative justice approach. Family of Woodstock is the agency that we contract with to do the restorative justice, to manage that, administer that, when that choice has been made by a family. In these cases, we've heard that there was pressure and that there was inaccurate or inadequate information, and that the families did not feel like they had a choice. That is wrong. The families have a choice. They should be made aware they have a choice. And when they aren't, that's a problem. That's what Legislator Hamsett is talking about, of our having heard that and trying to put in place mechanisms to address those situations where the system broke down, either because of an individual or because of something in the system. But at the point where the young person is receiving the restorative justice services through Family of Woodstock, those youngsters are getting something that in most cases they value, and we've received information back that they have a much lower incidence of coming back into the criminal justice system than youngsters who don't go that route. So those are the considerations that lead us to, you know, in Ulster County, to want to have these programs and to continue having them work well and to improve them where they need it.
Legislator Kitchen for a second time.
It seems to me we're just getting these children into the justice system at a very young age. I thought Family of Woodstock was in the business of providing housing and helping people with other needs in the community. I didn't know that they were now involved in the criminal justice system in Ulster County. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney.
That's a great point. They do everything. We pawn off so much of our programmatic services onto these not-for-profits. And tonight, we're going to talk more about not-for-profits as the resolutions keep going, and about how I think we need greater oversight into these things. And I've had complaints in other contracts about family. You know, we contract with family with every homeless stuff, all kinds of, you know, if you have supervised visitation, mandated supervised visitation, we contract with Family of Woodstock to be there so you can visit your kid. You know, I worked with an individual that had been incarcerated for many years. He's done everything right. He now has full custody of his son. But I was driving him to Poughkeepsie because family was so understaffed with our contract. He was one of two fathers that I had to help get visitation through another program because family was so understaffed. We're giving them money for these things. It's story after story after story that I hear from the least of us that aren't getting the programmatic services that we think they're getting. And at some point, and when you – I mean, just tonight, we already passed them all. There was like 15 different Family of Woodstock resolutions to do a million different things. And I think the intent is pure, but I don't think the follow-through is always there. And I think we got to do a better job. And we're going to hear some more pretty serious concerns that I have about not-for-profits going forward. And this is one of them, and I think my colleague makes a great point. As far as the – I just heard the great numbers – these children that are put into this program. Well, when you take honor students that never got in trouble in their lives and walked into an empty building with an open door and then walked out without destroying anything, you're going to have some pretty good numbers as far as these kids not repeating. So on we go.
Legislator Nolan for you have to borrow time from Legislator McCullough.
So just to be clear, Family of Woodstock cannot issue an appearance ticket. An appearance ticket is issued by a law enforcement agent. So the comments here that are directed against this appearance ticket having been issued are not appropriately directed at any other point of this system. That is only allowed by the law enforcement agent.
On the resolution.
On the resolution.
I'm sorry, did you have another comment, Minority Leader? Yeah, no problem.
Thank you. I'd like to thank the parents for coming forward. It takes a lot of courage to come here and talk about family issues, about problems with your families, your kids getting in trouble in front of us, complete strangers. I also want to thank Legislator Maloney for bringing this forward. I wish, you know, I had more time to decipher this, but I also want to give kudos to Legislator Hansett. It seems like she recognized the problem. She put some guidelines on this, get some quarterly reports. I would like to give that a chance, and that these reports aren't satisfactory. You know, I'll be the first one come March, April, May. Actually, I won't be the first one. I'll have to get somebody to put the resolution in for me, because if I put it in my name on the top, it will surely be defeated, like defunding Samadhi, putting in a 15% tax cut, and doing something great for the environment. But I'll be helping out, trying to defund or cancel this contract if we can't get satisfaction come March, April.
Thank you. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
I believe we're short yes with one no, Kitchen, Legislator Kitchen.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 556, amending the rules of order as they relate to decorum at legislative session.
Hold on, orders of the day. I think we're on the two that were pulled out of consent, the 554 and 555.
I think they were 654.
Oh, they were? Oh, I'm sorry. My mistake.
Okay, so 556 is amending the rules of order as they relate to decorum at legislative session and legislative committee meetings.
Legislator Maloney.
Is this going to stop that face? I don't think so. Anyway, so I still don't know exactly what this is. I don't know if it's going to stop people calling people racists or xenophobes. I don't know if it's going to stop the sheriff from screaming and yelling at me. I don't know if everybody heard, the sheriff had another fit the other day in a meeting. I didn't say anything back, so there's no need for a censor. I had a great joke lined up. I was going to ask Everett Erickson if there was a wambulance close by, but I didn't want to get shot or censored, so there's no need to censor me again. I did not say anything back. I let the sheriff scream and yell and point, stand up, and then eventually make his way out of the meeting. So I'm just not sure about this decorum thing or what it means or who gets to decide, who gets removed, what duly elected official gets to remove, get removed from a meeting because somebody says something that they don't like. This is just fiddling, all the important things, all the things we've already voted on, some of the things we're talking about, the tens of millions of dollars we're approving, the $400 million we approved a couple of days ago. All these important things, all these people we have in homeless shelters, all the people suffering out there that our programmatic spending is supposed to help, all these different things we could be doing and talking about, and we're talking about decorum. It's fiddling. It's just fiddling. And Nero played the fiddle while Rome burned to the ground, and the county is burning, and we're fiddling about decorum. That's how I feel. I hope I didn't cross a line, and I hope I don't need to be removed.
Legislator Kovacs.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. To give all of our legislators some background, Chair Criswell reached out to me earlier this year and asked me to work with him on revising our rules of procedure in order to enhance the professionalism and decorum of our legislature. It is my belief that, Chair Criswell, you did not mean to inhibit any legitimate legislative debate by revising these rules, and I certainly do not believe that these revised rules are going to inhibit legitimate debate. I'm very proud of the work that we have done. We work with council, legislative council, minority council. I'm very sensitive I know that conservative voices have often been excluded from corridors of power in academia, in education, and I want to make sure that they are not going to be excluded under these rules. I think it's also important that we give our committee chairs, that they understand that they have the same powers as Chair Criswell has when he runs this legislature, so all of our committee chairs can use these rules to make sure their committee meetings are run professionally, as they have been, and I'm sure they will be. I know there is a mention about removing members from a committee or from the legislature if they are act in a disruptive manner. Those are rules that every parliamentary body in the world has. Every speaker or chair of a legislature or a parliament can remove members if they act in a manner that is going to disrupt the proceedings. That has been done before. It will be done again. I'm hopeful it never happens here. But I think these rules are a very good revision, and they are going to make sure that no voices are excluded from the process, and that our committee meetings and our legislative and the legislature continue to be run professionally and with proper decorum. Thank you.
Thank you. Majority Leader Uchitel, followed by Legislator Hewitt.
Just as a point of clarification, Legislator Maloney was censured, not censored. I just wanted to clarify that.
Thank you. Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. Before session, I was speaking with Legislator Stewart and some of our colleagues about when he was on the town board in Marbletown for 8 years. I was on the town board in Rochester for 8 years. And people show up and scream for hours and late into the night. And we didn't have rules of decorum. So 3 years ago when I entered this body and I read the rules of decorum, I was so happy that we would treat each other with kindness and respect. So thank you for the improvements.
You're welcome. Legislator Kitchen.
Good evening, Mr. Chairman. I understand these rules apply to us as legislators. Does that mean we have to sit here and let other employees, department heads, and people that come to the meetings yell in our face, or will they be removed?
Is that a question?
That's a question.
To the chair?
To the chair. I just said Chairman
Criswell. The rules are very clear. If you'd like to read the rules, they're in your packet. It's very clear who is affected and how they work.
Because I'm not finished yet.
Oh, I'm sorry.
But Mr. Maloney said that he
was
just...
There was an interaction that made me think you were finished.
Yeah, listen, I'm not
going to
play that game, but Mr. Maloney just said that he was accosted again. What meeting was that at? So I could watch the video?
There is no video. There was 20 witnesses. There were legislators here that were there just the other day at the subcommittee about the vehicle oversight.
So the rules are in this packet. Did they apply at that meeting? Right. That's what I thought. Thank you.
Legislator Maloney.
After hearing from my colleague, I understand why my colleague, Mr. Kovacs, has gotten involved in this. He wants to protect conservative voices and to protect conservative voices from being silenced. You're giving a near supermajority of Democrats the right to shut you down. I'm sure that'll protect Republicans' voices. Can I ask a question through the chair Mr. Kovacs, and that's to just give me a hypothetical of something that can be done because of this rule that couldn't be done before. So give me any example in the world. If I'm going to change a speed limit, I can give you a hypothetical. You used to be able to drive this speed. Now you're going to get a ticket if you drive that speed. Any policy, it's low-hanging fruit. Just give me an actual example of what we couldn't do before and what we can do now.
Legislative Kovacs, if you would like to.
I'll take the bait, Chair. I will say two things. One is, first of all, we clarified the role of the chair and our committee chairs to clearly set forth what they can and cannot do if there's a disruption in their committee or the legislature. It spells out a series of, I'll call them, penalties, and it sets forth in first as a warning. Then there's, you know, they can be silenced for the rest of the meeting, or they can be removed from the meeting. I will say a hypothetical situation that I believe, Mr. Chair, is covered by the rules. It would be a legitimate point of parliamentary debate
One would be a hypothetical, would be a committee meeting of the legislature, and we have a department head at the committee meeting. The department head says, state law says I need to do X, Y, and Z. I'm not going to do X, Y, and Z, members of the committee. I don't agree with it. I think it's wrong. I'm not going to do it. A legitimate parliamentary – or, excuse me, a legitimate legislative debate or inquiry would be a member of the legislature on that committee says to the department head, well, can you explain to us why you believe that you don't have to follow X, Y, and Z, even though that is state law? Why are you making your personal preference above state law? That's a very important question. I think it's not only just a legitimate debate. It's, I think, a required question for members of the committee, members of the legislature, to ask a department head, why are you not following state law that you just personally have a problem with? So that is protected by the rules. I think that is an absolute legitimate use of our role at the legislature, and it is fully protected. And I will personally make sure that these rules do not inhibit any legitimate discussion.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes, two noes, Legislator Lopez and Roberts.
And Kitchen.
And Kitchen.
I just want to address the person who raised their hand. We're not taking comments from the public right now. You had an opportunity at the top of the meeting. There will be an opportunity at the end of the meeting to have comments before us that were not on the issue this evening. So just so you know the process.
Resolution 556 is adopted, 18-4. Resolution 597, establishing a policy requiring minimum staffing levels at the Ulster County Board of Elections.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Gavaris.
597, we're a short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution number 628 is the next resolution. That is confirming the appointment of Erica Brown to the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency.
On the Legislator Maloney.
A question through the chair to the chair of Energy and Environment. Was this applicant interviewed by the committee as we'd done over the last couple of years with all other considerations?
Legislator Hewitt?
It wasn't required to do an interview process like we do with the IDA and other boards. This was a chair appointment.
Thank you. I can continue?
Yeah, you can follow up. Go ahead.
So, We had historically been doing interviews. We respected the Standing Committee Energy and Environment, and we had done interviews. This might be the most important appointment of this entire term. With all the issues we've had over at the RRA, we just finished up this commission. We've had all these battles over landfills and documents and so many of us are concerned about a lot that's going on and, you know, at the RRA, and how do we've even considered going full private, or more importantly, going full public and making it part of public works. With all this, isn't this the time for a process? Isn't this the time? I thought many of us, and this is a petition to discharge, which means this did not pass committee. So this appointment actually failed committee. And then seven or eight people signed a document so we could bring it right up to the floor. But our committee, which doesn't fail a lot, doesn't vote a lot down necessarily. They're fair is what I mean. And they voted this down. Do you know why they voted it down? Because we had somebody named Laura Petit, who we all thought, most of us thought, just made so much sense that it hurt. She just got done being a legislator. We're actually talking about changing the rules where we can appoint legislators because we're so frustrated with the workings of the RRA and the board. I just can't believe that we threw the process out the window on this one. We're going to spit in the face of our standing committee process, of the wishes of our Energy and Environmental Standing Committee. And this has nothing to do with the wonderful person, I'm not even going to say him by name, that is up for this. But the idea that there's not a huge environmental resume when we have the resume that we have sitting there for consideration, somebody that's gotten tens of millions of dollars in environmental grants, ran the transfer station over in New Paltz, was a legislator, just served on the RRA Oversight Commission that just got done. I mean, this was the time to interview and get this right. This is offensive. It's offensive to the legislative branch of government here that we're not going to. We just had Chair Bartels, who didn't mind using the power of the chair at times. She came into multiple years of her chairing into Energy and Environment Standing Committees and interviewed, was part of the process, and brought the interviewees in, and then didn't even implement her power that she could have to say, well, I don't care what you guys want to do. I'm the chair. It's written this way, and I'm allowed to appoint whoever I want. She did not do that. And if you were going to do it, wouldn't you at least have the person interview? I mean, and then on top of it, we have the chair of the RRA committee coming out and endorsing. What the hell is going on here? Did he get to interview her? What does he even know about this person? And why do we care what the chair of the RRA, we're the appointers, not him. So this whole thing is backwards, completely backwards. And a no vote tonight is not a no against this, I'm sure, wonderful person. It's a yes for process, and it's possibly a yes for Laura Petit.
I have legislators Stewart, Collins, Kitchen, then Hewitt.
Thank you, Chair. When this came up before the Energy and Environment Committee, I was taken aback and felt blindsided by this nomination, because in years past, ever since I've been a member of the legislature, the Energy and Environment Committee has always interviewed candidates for the UCRA board. And in fact, one of the first things that I remember doing when I was first elected 2.5 years ago was sitting through a round of interviews for candidates who were applying to be members of that board. So when I was informed that the chair had approved or had recommended this nomination, I felt that the process had not been followed. After a discussion with Chair Criswell, it turns out that the Energy and Environment Committee does not, that is not in their purview, actually, to interview these candidates and to approve these candidates. It turns out that's just something that had been done for years and years. Chair Criswell explained to me how, you know, he was not aware of that previous process, or if he was, he realized that it wasn't a necessity. So after I was enlightened as to the actual process, I'm withdrawing my objections to this nomination. I have heard great things about the candidate. And even during our meeting, when we were busy debating her nomination, I told her point blank, this has nothing to do with you or your qualifications. It has to do with process. And it turns out the process that we have been following since I have been a member of the legislature is not the actual process. So I think that members of the Energy and Environment Committee and the chair need to sit down and figure out a process moving forward, but in fact, it is the chair's purview to make this nomination. So the whole thing was a little confused, and I look forward to clarifying that process moving forward. And in the meanwhile, it was made clear to me from members of the UCRA board and who strongly supported this nomination, and there's a timeliness factor that we have to deal with as well. Also, one last thing. A former legislator, Laura Petit, was mentioned, and I think she would be great on the UCRA board, and we are about to expand that board from 5 to 9 members, and I look forward to seeing her on that board in the future.
Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Kitchen.
So just to be clear, the actual policy reads, it being the board of UCRA, shall consist of 5 members to be appointed by the chairman of the county legislature, including 1 member recommended to the chairman by the minority leader of the county legislature. All members so appointed shall be subject to confirmation by the county legislature. So what happened there was exactly what should have happened. The chair appointed, didn't nominate, but appointed a member. It's a difference between nomination and appointed. Erica Brown was appointed by the chair. It is the responsibility now of the legislature to either confirm or not confirm that appointment. Confirmation is different than hiring. Confirmation is looking at the appointee and seeing whether or not he or she is grossly misqualified or unqualified. That's really the only reason to not confirm. And clearly this appointee is qualified to be on the board and should be able to be confirmed by this body. So I wholeheartedly support this confirmation process. Thank you.
Legislator Kitchen.
Yes. So as I sat in my caucus tonight with people that are on this committee, I guess they were told in this committee that there was no other people being considered or applied or whatever for this board position. And come to find out, they told me there was a total of 4 people and not just 1 person. And from what I was told, the person that's being confirmed tonight, or not to be confirmed tonight, I was told that they didn't have environmental experience, but worked for the local land bank. But like I said, I've known Laura Petit for many years. She has 20 years plus of environmental experience. It brings up another question, I guess. If I was on this committee, I would question... the chairman gets to choose whoever he wants to put on there. It's like I could choose my best friend or somebody else that I might know, and I don't have to necessarily choose the most qualified person. I don't think that's anything to smile about, sir. What I'm trying to say is maybe we should look at restructuring this the power of this chair. And other chairs, if they could just pick whoever they want, and the legislature just confirms it, and that's my my statement.
Thank you, Legislator Hewitt, followed by Minority Leader Roberts, followed by Legislator Maloney, followed by Legislator Collins for a second time.
Thank you. I received 1 resume from Laura Petit the day of the discussion, and Laura would be an amazing board member for the growing board, but the timing was not right, and I think Laura is largely credited with the New Paltz Reuse and Recycling Center. Her knowledge is very deep, and I believe she will be on the board in the future. But Erica actually serves on the Kingston Land Bank's board, is very experienced in board service, and would be a great member to empower the staff and the director. Not someone who would micromanage or stand in the way. I think she's very experienced in that way. But also, if we look at resolutions 624 to 627 that we had in the consent package tonight, it's the identical language that we have in this resolution, confirming appointment of Emily Hauser to the Environmental Management Council. Identical language, but we're having a debate about this one, but not those other ones.
All right, so I have Minority Leader Roberts, followed by Legislator Maloney, followed by Collins, followed by Green.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, and they are right. It is your appointment, and I totally agree with that. But it's up to us to confirm the appointment. And I'd like to hear from Ms. Brown. As you all know from previous debates last year, Plattekill, my hometown, was sandbagged by a secret report that was hidden from us by the Resource Recovery Agency, the Board of Directors, their executive director, their attorneys, and whoever else was involved. the executive director in here, Mr. Ryder, came and spoke very highly of Ms. Brown and said he needed her on the board, not for a quorum, but for an affirmative vote. That's no reason to put somebody on a board like this. I'd like to know, I'm sure everybody else likes to know, that my Republican colleagues who are going to get sandbagged by a landfill, not in a Democratic town, but how does Ms. Brown feel about a landfill in Ulster County? How does she feel about energy to waste? How does she feel about recycling? What can she do to increase recycling? I haven't heard any of that, and that's our job to confirm an appointment. So I'm going to be a no on this, and I know it will pass, but I wish Ms. Brown luck, and hopefully she'll do a good job.
Legislator Maloney for a second time.
Yeah. I keep hearing this is the process. This is how the policy's written. The process is absolutely for the chair to appoint. We're supposed to confirm. We're supposed to – can you imagine Donald Trump, one of his appointments, not being interviewed? It's called a confirmation hearing. This is what the reason that we don't treat the IDA and the RRA appointments like every other one is because they mean a lot more. This is huge. The RRA and the IDA are huge. Tens of millions and millions of dollars of spending and decisions that affect everybody in this county. And the idea I hear the UCRA board is happy with her. Did they get the interviewer? It's bizarre that we're up here saying how great of an appointment this is and no one got to interview. But yet she was at a meeting recently. Did anybody say, want to answer a couple of questions? Let's see where you're at. Let's have a real – let's schedule a meeting and invite every legislator in like we used to interview and ask questions. How do you know – how are we really – how does anyone feel good about making a vote to approve this without an interview? That's what a confirmation is. What is the point of us confirming? I literally heard three or four legislators just say, it's really not our purview. It's the appointment of the chair, so now I'm happy to vote yes. No, it's our job to confirm, to interview, and make sure this is the right decision for 200,000 people that live in the county. And instead, it's more and let us just think about this. The exact same person. If you put Kevin Roberts up in that chair, and you make him the chair of the legislature, and he appoints this person, every person on this side of the aisle votes no for it. I'm just telling you, this has nothing to do with a real process because there was no real process. There was no interview. The reason you didn't get a lot of applicants, and you only got one because that person was a former legislator that was in the know. You didn't get any applicants because we didn't ask for any. We didn't allow it. We didn't have interviews. I mean, if we went through the interview process, even if a couple of people said, I like this person better or something, then I could see you going, well, it is the purview of the chair. These people all interviewed well. I would have preferred this one, but I'm going to give them the benefit of the doubt and vote for it. This is offensive as legislators, and I don't think my colleagues realize how much you're undermining your own power and duties by confirming such a huge appointment without an interview process. What are you confirming? Why even call this a confirmation? Why even take it away? Let's take away our right to even confirm if we're not going to really do our due diligence.
Legislator Collins, followed by Legislator Green.
So I just want to point out that Ms. Brown was at the committee meeting. She was asked to give an introduction of herself, which she did. She answered questions from legislators. She was there in a confirmation hearing. She did the process. She was there. So to pretend that she wasn't there, to pretend that the legislators did not ask her questions, to pretend that the legislators did not do their due diligence is just wrong. If legislators want to change the process, there's a way to change processes. But this is the current process. She was there for the confirmation hearing. People asked questions. She answered the questions. We followed the process. And as legislator, you just pointed out, we don't seem to have problems with other people appointing and we're confirming. So what is it about this particular one, this particular person, this particular instance that's got everyone up in airs about this? I don't understand it. It's we confirm appointments from lots of different people. Why are we having a problem confirming from our chair?
Legislator Green, followed by Stewart for the second time, followed by Kitchen for the second time.
I just want to address the question of interviewing for appointments and distinguish between somebody who's being appointed to a committee like the Environmental Management Committee versus somebody who's being appointed to a board of a very large critical entity, authority, that's managing a very large budget and managing the county's waste. And the process was something that sort of developed organically, but Chair Hewitt has said that we will discuss and define the process. We're also in the process of expanding the UCRA board, and I think this can have a happy ending with the chair's appointment and then our former colleague, Laura Petit, when we expand the board. Laura did a magnificent job in New Paltz and really knows the field. But right now, this is the chair's appointment, and Erica Brown will bring a lot of excellent qualities. So that's my perspective. Thank you.
Legislator Stewart, followed by Legislator Kitchen.
I just want to say that, you know, this entire situation was the result of confusion on many people's part as to what the actual process was. I think that mistakes were made in this particular case. However, as Legislator Green just noted, I think it's all going to end on a high note, and I do think that Ms. Brown will be a good addition to the UCRA board, and I do think that former Legislator Petit will be an excellent addition to the UCRA board. So,
Legislator Kitchen, followed by Legislator Litz.
Yes. Just going to reiterate something that another legislator said, and he said, which made a lot of sense, we care about the people that we're putting on other boards like the IDA board and other boards in this county, but when it comes to this board, the chairman could choose whoever they want. Doesn't matter if they got qualifications or not. The whole thing just stinks to me. And what bothers me is, you know, I may differ quite a bit sometimes from my Republican colleagues. We don't always agree on things, and I may vote differently. But when I look at the other side of the aisle, they just vote in lockstep all the time. And it's just becoming, it's just very unsettling. Thank you.
Legislator Litz, followed by Collins. Legislator Collins, you have to borrow time from Legislator McCullough. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I would just like, you know, for the edification of the people in the galley and the people that are attending via the live stream, Ms. Brown did attend our committee meeting. She was asked some questions. And after that process, the committee voted not to confirm her appointment. If you notice on the bottom of the screen, it says petition to discharge successfully executed. That means that it was voted down in committee. So the majority of the people in that committee did not think that we needed to confirm that appointment. But there is a process by which, if it's defeated in committee, people can sign on to bring it before the floor, which is what happened here. So I know everyone is making a lot of, you know, comments about, you know, all of these things, but in the committee process, we didn't think that was the best candidate, and that's why she was voted down. Nothing against her, but we thought maybe there might be some candidates that were a little more experienced in the work of the Ulster County Resource Recovery Agency and had a background in environmental issues, and that's why, as a committee, we did not vote to confirm. And here we sit today. I hear people that were on the committee that voted not to put her up for appointment, but apparently they've been convinced otherwise. But I personally think that although it says it's the purview of the chair, and we're talking about, well, there's others. Well, the others that were mentioned are actually appointees of the county executive, so that doesn't really fit this scenario. But I always like to appoint the best qualified person. And when you're given one person, I guess the best qualified is only that person, because that's all the only choice you have. I think going forward, we need to rethink how we do things. Our appointments to the IDA, we interview every candidate. We come up with a matrix. It helps us decide and prioritize our candidates. And then we put forth a resolution to recommend and appoint those people to the IDA. I believe in the past that's the exact way we handled appointments to the UCRRA. I think that's a better system.
You finished, sir? Legislator Collins, followed by Nolan, followed by Walz.
A couple of different points. I invite anyone to actually look at the committee meeting, and they will hear many of the legislators say, this is not personal, it's about the process, when they voted no. So now that they've got the process straight, they know that they're voting yes, because it's not about the person, it was about the process, the no votes. I really just invite you to listen to that. Listen to every legislator say to the candidate, you're to the nominee, it's not personal, it's just the process. Now it's personal. Second part is I want to talk about the IDA. We've talked about the IDA. The IDA has different rules. It says an agency, this is the IDA, shall consist of not less than 3 nor more than 7 members who shall be appointed by the governing body of each municipality and shall serve at the pleasure of the appointing authority. That specifically says who appoints the IDA. It's the legislature, not the chair. Those are differences. The rules are the rules. If you don't like the rules, make a motion to change the rules in the future. But right now, the rules are the rules.
Legislator Nolan, followed by Walz, followed by Litz for a second time.
Yeah, I'd just like to add to that clarification about the voting in committee. There were multiple members of the committee absent that night. There was discussion, as well as questions that were posed to Ms. Brown, who was there. And no one brought up any concern about the quality or qualifications of the person who had been appointed by the chair. Multiple people did say that that was not the issue, that they were concerned about the process, and they thought that there was a requirement to have interviews. There is no such requirement. It has been a practice, and I think it's a good practice. And I think there's good reason for us to consider continuing with having the board, the committee, the environment committee, do interviews for this particular position when there is time and when the circumstances allow. But there was no other candidate mentioned at that committee meeting, so there could not have been a consideration that this wasn't the best candidate. There was no other candidate whose name was brought forward. Tonight there is, but those candidates would come forward if there were an announcement, a notice of open positions, and then a statement that we're going to go through our usual process. The reason the chair from the UCRRA RRA board reached out is that they are a small number of people on the board. They're at the holidays. They have decisions to make, and they were concerned about making quorum. So instead of, as was stated, that there were no quorum considerations, that is essentially the consideration. So the situation we have here is trying to fill a vacancy under a time constraint for a small member board. Many elements of that change going forward, and I think we can have a good discussion about how to handle these types of appointments going forward, including changing the rules if we want to do that. I think that they have worked well over time. I think they could work well here, but it requires us to take into account the special circumstances we're in.
Legislator Walls, followed by Legislator Litz for a second time.
I'd like to remind us that these appointees are volunteers, and I think if we take so much time and effort in what we're doing here with these volunteers, it's going to hurt volunteerism down the road.
Thank you. Legislator Litz for a second time.
Well, what we are witnessing here today is the major reason why government and business are on two ends of the spectrum. Are there any business owners here?
Yeah.
Are there any managers in county government or in a position where you hire people? Would you hire anybody without doing an interview?
Legislator Litz, please don't address the entire
I'm not. It's just a general statement.
All right, thank you.
And I agree with all my colleagues here today in that we need to improve the system, and we need to rectify and change the rules such that we operate more efficiently and more like the rest of the world does, and not government. We have to maybe look towards our business partners on how they conduct business.
Thank you. Legislator Maloney.
Kev, can I have a minute?
Yes, Legislator
I do just want to just reiterate what a beautiful point that was that my colleague Herb just said, and that's it made me think about Tracy Bartels, the former chair that had the right to appoint anyone she wanted and probably knew more, probably had been to 100 or more RRA meetings in her life, probably knew besides MANA, and now that Laura's gone, probably has more institutional environmental knowledge than just about this entire room combined, and she went into the standing committees without her mind made up. All that, she's an environmental genius with so much knowledge and opinion around the RRA and what it should do, what it could do, and what it has done. And she still went in to the energy and environment meetings, had an open process, invited anyone that wanted to apply. We went into executive session. We would bring back people for multiple interviews. Then she would give us her opinion along with everyone else, and we always ended up, I was part of that process for years, we always ended up surprising ourselves with who we ended up going with. We went in thinking we'd probably like, and we came out, and watching with all that, with four kids, a business, what I have in this county, how offended I am with what I know, how important the RRA is, and how much influence it has over different parts of our lives. For us and for you, Chair, to say, no, I know best, and to pick somebody without a lot of environmental things on her resume, it's just really unbelievable. And to watch the sycophants over here change their opinion and go with the party over the people.
Legislator Maloney, I am going to ask you to keep your comments respectful, please.
Censor me.
Thank you. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
I'm going to say this is going to be a short yes with four no's, Lopez, Roberts, Kitchen, and Litz, and Kovacs.
The resolution is adopted 16-6.
I'm calling a 10-minute recess.
Okay. No. Well, you had 10 minutes.
So what do you want to do? Amanda's asking if she should put the food out for everybody.
Pardon me?
Amanda's asking if she should put the food out.
Sure. I mean, it's at 8 o'clock already.
So just say Peter said yes. That is very frustrating, too.
Legislators, if you could find your seats, please. Legislators, could you please find your way back to the chamber? Thank you. Anybody know where Legislator Kitchen is? Okay, I'm going to call the meeting back to order.
Okay, the next resolution in the non-consent package is Resolution 632, adopting and issuing a negative declaration under 6 NYCRR Part 617 State Environmental Quality Review Act, CEQRA, by the Ulster County Legislature for the construction of a government operations center located at Parodies Lane in the town of New Paltz for emergency communication, emergency management.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we're a short yes with one no. Legislator Maloney?
We are a short yes with one abstention. Legislator Litz, for the purpose of employment.
Yep, beautiful. Okay. Resolution 632 is adopted 20-1 with one abstention. Legislator Litz. The next three resolutions will be resolutions that were pulled from the consent package. So 654 is approving the execution of a contract amendment for $43,320, causing the aggregate contract plus amendment amount to be in excess of $50,000 entered into by the County Rehabilitation Support Services, Inc., Department of Mental Health.
Legislator Maloney.
You know, we're going to keep talking about some of these not-for-profits. This is a not-for-profit that we've talked about before, and I really think at some point we're going to need a policy. It's going to have some more advanced ways to check into the books of some of these not-for-profits. But also, I think we should have some other marks that we want to hit. I don't want to give money to any not-for-profit. These not-for-profits, we hear the word or the phrase not-for-profit, and we think they're saints. They're doing God's work, but there's a lot of profit in not-for-profits. They also don't pay taxes. There's 50 million not-for-profits now. Half of them do business with the county. We're not always happy with their programmatic services, but this one in particular has an executive director that as of 2022 was making $575,000 a year. So we're giving money to a not-for-profit that has a director making $600,000. The second in command, according to this, is $311,000, then $251,000. How much of our money is making it to the people? And it goes on, that list goes on and on and on with this not-for-profit. How much of our money is making it where we want it to go when they have salaries such as this? And it's just offensive. It's offensive. You want to be a millionaire? Go invent something or start a business and take a risk. Do not go and run a not-for-profit and pay yourself $600,000. I think it's wrong, and I'll be a no on this not-for-profit every time they come up. Laura Petit is the one that alerted me to this not-for-profit. She actually had things in her town that this not-for-profit existed in that she wasn't even happy with their programmatic services. And on top of that, the disgusting, disgusting elitism that is taking place in this not-for-profit. I wonder what their houses look like. I wonder what work they actually do for these. But I will never be a yes. And I think at some point we should start looking at how much these not-for-profits are paying the rank and file doing the work compared to the people that are, in theory, in charge and running these not-for-profits.
Legislator Hewitt.
Thank you. I just want to clarify the definition of a nonprofit versus a for-profit. I think Legislator Maloney is generalizing because a nonprofit can range from having a budget of as little as $5,000 a year to millions or billions a year. When I'm asked to donate to the American Cancer Society or other large national or international nonprofits at the grocery store, I always say no because they're spending 5 to 10% on programs and 90% on administrative payroll. I think Legislator Maloney has a great point on that. But we're talking about excess revenue in nonprofits, not profit. And they're required to put their excess revenue back into the organization. There's no owner getting rich unless they give themselves large salaries, but that's board approved. If we wanted to go over the profit industry and the list of evils, we can fill history books on profit motives. But these nonprofits are set up to be mission-based, mission-aligned, and that's why we think of them as good organizations. There's corruption everywhere. We could look somewhere and find corruption, but our county is filled with amazing nonprofits.
Majority Leader Uchitel.
I 2 points. One, if you're curious what the rank and file, specifically what people that are actually working on these contracts are getting paid, you can find that out because a couple of years ago I submitted a resolution, which we all voted on and passed, that requires that information be submitted as part of all contracts. It was a huge battle, but we got it done, and now you can find out that information, and this is exactly why. And the second point that I'll make is in many cases, there's no alternative for who to, you know, do this work with, and the only other alternative would be to do it ourselves. And if this turns into a large chorus of support for bringing some of these services in-house, I will be the first to sign up, and I look forward to everyone else's support as we stop farming things out to nonprofits and do them ourselves. That would be a major shift, but one that I personally would like to see. And so I hope that the criticism of the nonprofit industrial complex is actually support for the services to be done in-house as they once were and as perhaps one day they will be again.
I have Legislator Hewitt for a second time and then Legislator Collins.
Thank you. I just wanted to point out one additional difference. Nonprofits are required to fill 990s. Sometimes they're late for different reasons, but that's how Legislator Maloney was able to share those salaries. We can't find the salaries of most corporate leaders because they don't have to disclose their books. Nonprofits are required to disclose their books. That's good. Thanks.
Legislator Collins.
I want to add on to that. There was a resolution passed early this year that requires the 990s to have been filed by nonprofits that we do business with. I believe that takes effect next year. We gave it a time lag so that it would they'd have a chance to get the 990s in order. We will not be able to contract with people that do not file 990s at a certain point, because we do need to be able to know how much they're paying their administrators and how much they're paying their staff. And I also agree with Legislator Uchitel. Let's bring this stuff in-house. You know, then we know what's happening. We know the job is being done right. We farm things out because it's cheaper. But that doesn't mean it's better. So let's bring them back in-house.
Legislator Kitchen.
Yes, I just had a question for the chair. Are legislators allowed to be a vendor for a nonprofit that's being funded by the county? That's my question. Do you know the answer to that?
Say it again, please.
Could any legislator, okay, be a vendor for a nonprofit, that's being county funded?
Majority Leader, do you have that?
Yeah, I'll answer that. If you have a pecuniary interest, so if you would make money on a resolution that is being voted on, you have to abstain from that. We have a process for that. That's why you see people abstaining for purposes of employment. So that's the answer to that question.
I didn't answer because I think it is allowed, but you have to disclose it.
Thank you for the information, because I'm going to look further into what's been going on with a couple individuals. Appreciate it.
You're welcome. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we're short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
We're going to be a short yes, one no, Legislator Roberts.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The next resolution, also pulled from consent, is 655, approving the execution of a contract for $938,677 entered into by the County Rehabilitation Support Services, Inc., Department of Mental Health.
Legislator Maloney.
All those people are still making disgusting money in a not-for-profit, so I'll continue to be a no.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, short yes, one no, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Roberts.
Resolution 655 is adopted 20-2. The next resolution is also pulled from consent, and that is 676, approving the execution of a contract for $150,000 entered into by the county, Ulster County Community Action Committee, Inc., Department of Social Services.
Legislator Maloney.
So this contract is a continuation contract, I believe, and what it does is it supposedly gives $150,000 to another not-for-profit to bring food and hygiene things to individuals that are homeless in homeless shelters or motels being put up by the county. Unfortunately, I think they could do a lot better, and after my statement here, I'm going to be asking to send this back to committee and investigate a little further. What I've come across, and I'm not going to tell you everything that whistleblowers are telling me so far, because I am going to be asking for an investigation into some of these things, because there's just too many people not being treated well. There's too many things that I'm hearing from multiple sources, a couple of which are this, and it's in this exact contract. One of which is the food that they're giving out, and I've begun to go to people in shelters that are receiving this food, this inconsistent food that doesn't always come. Over the last 3 weeks, I'd say about 50% of the days there was no food dropped off. The food that is dropped off rarely has drinks. I think once every 2 weeks I'm finding warm milk. And then I've actually taken pictures and have pictures of the disgusting, unedible, cold food that is being dropped off. I'll hand out a packet. On top of that, out of that $150,000 contract that we gave this not-for-profit, they had $40,000 left over. And because they're under the impression of this last contract, because they're under the impression that that money has to come back to the county, they decide to give it out to themselves in multi-thousand-dollar one-time payments. The head of this program gave herself a $10,000 check recently. The second in command of this program gave themselves a $10,000 check. I was given this by a whistleblower. The way this works is, as well, this is an interesting not-for-profit. I don't know why this ended up this way, but Ulster County actually kind of has something to do with this not-for-profit. We appoint the board. I can either serve on this or I can appoint a proxy. Several years ago, when I was first elected, somebody came to me from the legislature and said, look, I was asked to ask you to not continue the appointment of a person. They ask a lot of questions. Your predecessor appointed them, but they ask a lot of questions and they hold a lot of things up. So guess what I did? I said, go back and tell him he's coming back. I wasn't going to, but now he is, because that's exactly the kind of people we need on these boards. And guess who's one of the people that's brought me this disgustingness? So I made some packets. I think everyone should see it because here's the actual documentation. I went to the controller's office, sat down with the controller the other day. She could not find anything in the financial system that they're actually giving us to as receipts or anything, which they're supposed to justify $40,000 going into their pockets. One of my proxy at the meeting said, can we just buy more food? What are we doing here? We work really hard. I'm not even sure there's enough people at these board meetings. There's a lot of people that don't show up, and I'm not even sure there was enough people to even make some of these votes to approve this disgustingness. I know a lot of people in the organization are upset about it, but I don't know how anybody here is going to justify the photos of the food and the actual documentation, I've blacked out names, where they are giving themselves $40,000 of this $150,000, and they do it twice a year. They do it twice a year, I'm told. And they just put money in their pockets. Anybody want to look at it? Take a look.
Legislator Nolan?
Yeah. So at the time that we contract for these services, I think there is a contract, and we should review that contract. If that contract is like most of the contracts that we have, it will require receipts for expenses that would be reimbursed or that would be seen as performance under the contract, and that would include salaries. That the amount that we would pay under such a contract could not be legally under the contract, as I understand, not being a lawyer, go for an additional $10,000 bonus or any kind of bonus, the salary rates would be established under those contracts. So in general, I think it's more helpful to receive this kind of information in another setting where we can look at the contract and all look at the materials. And so I would take this the comments of my colleague to be a request that we do that. I think that's a very reasonable thing for the executive and, if need be, for the legislature as well to do. And I think that the implication that the county's money is being misused is just that, on the basis of what I've heard so far, needs to be evaluated before I would be convinced that there's a problem here.
Legislator Kitchen.
Yes, I also had a whistleblower come to me from a nonprofit where individuals are inflating the number of meals that were being delivered to this non-for-profit. Extraordinary exaggerations of meals for people that cannot even be accounted for. So I think this is something that we definitely need to monitor and look into. Thank you.
Thank you. Minority Leader Roberts.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I don't think it hurts at this point. I don't think this program is going to shut down. If it did, it might be a good thing. But I think it would be in the county taxpayers' best interest that the comptroller look into this for a month, and then we revisit it next month. And this, I'd like to make a motion to postpone for 30.
Legislator Nolan?
On the motion to postpone? We can cancel a contract with any vendor in a very short time. So I don't see any reason to postpone this contract. Rather, continue the contract for the services, the people that are receiving the services and can continue to be benefited. I do agree with doing the investigation called for by the comments of my colleagues, and I think that can be done, and we can cancel this contract later if necessary.
So there's a motion on the floor which has been seconded.
Long roll.
And a long roll has been called.
Okay. This motion is to postpone Resolution 6.
Point of order, clarification. Is it postpone and refer, or?
That's not what he said. That's why I was going to say it all.
Thank you.
No problem. So this.
I'm sorry. This motion is to postpone Resolution 676 to the next regular meeting. So it stays on the floor. And the next regular meeting will likely be in February. Clinton. Pass. Collins.
Yes to the postponement.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
No.
Guevaras.
Yes.
Well, I heard him very clear. Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
No.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
I'm voting no on principle that this information is being sprung on us in the middle of session. This could have been shared at any point. This could have been shared during the committee process. This could be verified. We're hearing this all from one person, maybe two, in terms of, you know, this body. And I just, you know, we keep doing this. We keep listening to these things. I'm voting no.
Walls.
Yes.
Clinton. No. The postponement is adopted.
I'd like to change my vote, please.
Four.
To no.
Okay.
And I think McCullough is looking to change his vote as well.
Hewitt is a no. Legislator McCullough, you want to change to a no? Okay, it's still adopted, 16-6. The resolution is postponed till the next regular meeting. Let's see. Where are we at now? Which one are we at?
6-9, 6-7-9.
6-7-9. Yep, because 6-9-6 is the other one. Okay. 6-7-9, approving the execution of a contract for $67,106 entered into by the County Family of Woodstock, Inc., Department of Probation.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no. Legislator Maloney?
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Resolution 685, adopting proposed local law number 15 of 2024, a local law amending the Ulster County Charter and amending the Administrative Code to delete the Insurance Department and to replace it with, to delete, I'm sorry, let me read that again, deleting the Insurance Department from each and amending the Charter and the Administrative Code with respect to the Safety Department.
Legislator Maloney.
I've just brought this up because it's another thing that we do. We wave a pen and on the sixth floor, and then the people that actually do the work do the work. Some of them are here today, and they'll go to work tomorrow and find out that they've had their hearts ripped out for a second time when the executive vetoes the much-deserved and legal raise. We'll be talking more about this. Most of us will hopefully be at a meeting on Thursday to hopefully uphold and continue to right that wrong. And it is very legal. We've done it before.
Could you please stay on the topic of this particular
resolution? I am on
the
topic because actually, without these men and women, this doesn't get
Legislator
done.
Legislator Maloney, I'm asking you to continue speaking about the renaming of this department. If you would please do that. Thank you.
You're not giving me the leeway to explain my vote on this department and tie it to the people that are going to be doing the work. Thank you very much.
Legislator Maloney,
Jason, you don't need that to shut somebody down. You don't need this new law.
Legislator Maloney, I'm giving you leeway to talk on this resolution. If you would like, please do so. You're veering off topic, and you know you are.
I don't know I am. I've been a legislator for longer than you have, and I've explained votes in this way.
Don't point your finger at me. Don't point your finger at me.
My fingers aren't pointed at you, as I was talking for 1 second, okay?
Legislator,
you don't like getting the finger pointed at you. Neither do I, especially I don't have a gun. At least I don't have a gun pointing the finger at you and screaming and yelling at you.
We're not going to do this.
Fair is fair. It's always a different set of rules for the people that speak up and speak out.
Moving on, please.
I had stopped talking. You kept talking, and we're quite snide about it.
Moving on, please. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes, I believe, with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Short yes, one no, Legislator Kovacs.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The resolution is adopted 19-3. Okay, then we have
bond resolutions here. Resolution 691, authorizing the issuance of an additional $90,000 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York to pay part of the cost of bridge superstructure reconstruction project in and for said county. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Yes.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. The next resolution, also a bond resolution, 695, authorizing the reconstruction and improvements to the new Workforce Innovation Center in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $500,000, and authorizing the issuance of $500,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green. Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
Nope.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
And Uchitel? I forgot. Walls. How could I forget?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. The next resolution is pulled from consent, and that is 696, and that's establishing capital project number 714, Trudy Resnick Farber Building Repairs, amending the 2025 capital fund budget for the Department of Public Works.
Did we do 696 already?
That's
we're
what
on 696
we just
right now.
Did. We're doing
on the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Short yes.
Okay. The resolution is adopted 22-0. 697 is the bond that goes with it, authorizing preliminary design expenses for the reconstruction of and improvements to the Trudy Resnick Farber Center in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $125,000. And authorizing the issuance of $125,000 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
I don't think we need to bond for this and others at this point. No.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Walls?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 700, a bond resolution authorizing preliminary planning for the replacement of Denning Road Bridge in Enforced County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $522,500, and authorizing the issuance of $522,500 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
Nope.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 711, another bond, authorizing, thank you very much. They're cheating off of Jay's slides. Oh, you know why? Because I think this is still a consent
vote. Dear voter, it's not cheating to rely on Jay's slides.
Point of order taken.
Part of the process. 708 was in consent. It was setting a public hearing on naming a county-owned asset to be held on Tuesday, January 14, 2025 at 6:40 p.m.
Legislator Maloney.
Yeah, now another resolution has gone in to name the second floor, I believe, which I think is more appropriate. You know, we went through this the other day, and it's just, you know, I heard somebody get up there today, and I agree with a lot of the things he had to say about what a wonderful person Nina was, but he also mentioned that we're going to build a monument to her, and I don't know. Sounds like a false god, and politicians, even the really nice ones, do not deserve a monument. And we've had three, like I said last time, I think we've had three members of Ulster County law enforcement lose their lives while on the job over just the last couple of years. That's the kind of person that if you're going to name a building to a human being, then that's the kind of person that deserves it. I mean, I know we all know Nina and know she's great, but most of our constituents don't, and all they see is another Cuomo bridge. And I don't blame them because I kind of feel that way about it too. We should not be glorifying and celebritizing politicians. And that's what we're doing. And I don't know if anyone else is brave enough to say, because Nina was so nice and so great. But it's wrong. And most of our constituents aren't crazy about it.
Legislator Collins.
I actually don't feel like we should name the building after the former. But I do believe we can do a public hearing. So I'm a yes on the public hearing. I want to see what the public says to convince me that we should do it or not do it.
Legislator Nolan.
I just want to say that I did not hear any of the public use the word monument. And so I think it's fine for someone to make a comment about what they think about it. Actually, I take that back. I've got it here in my notes. It is here. So the clarification that the comment, as I noted on my notes, is that means that the effort with that resolution would be to honor the individual and inspire others. So I think that the conversation can go forward without impugning the motivation of somebody who makes a comment. Again, I think when we characterize either the public's comments or the comments of our colleagues in a certain way and then attack them, it degrades the quality of the conversation and makes it less welcoming to people who want to bring a different view. So I think it's possible to bring forward our own ideas without characterizing and then criticizing those who have spoken. Thank
Deputy,
you.
Deputy Majority Leader Levine.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. There's just a point of clarification for Legislator Collins. My understanding is that this resolution 708 is setting a public hearing on Tuesday, January 14th at 6:40 in regards to naming the second floor for the former clerk, not for the building. So we've had the public hearing for that resolution for naming of the building. This public hearing would be to dedicate the second floor to the clerk.
We just had the public hearing for naming the building just now.
Mm-hmm.
It's been a long night.
It's been a long night. On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney. He's a yes. Oh, we're a short yes?
That's why I didn't read. I forgot.
Okay. He'll be a no.
We shouldn't put a politician's name on it.
Okay, we shouldn't put a politician's name.
Better than the building, but
we're a short yes with one no, Legislator Maloney.
Minority Leader.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 21-1. Back to some bonds. 7-11.
authorizing LMR systems upgrade in and for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $11,063,326 and authorizing the issuance of $11,063,326 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Gavaris?
No.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
At the last meeting, we discussed that we have a huge budget windfall here. I don't know why we're not taking some of these, all these things we're bonding on tonight out of our windfall, but I'll be a yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Aye.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
No.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
Yes.
Roberts?
Yes.
Berry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
You should tell?
Yes.
And Walz?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Bond resolution 714. Authorizing the purchase of a mobile command vehicle for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $2,868,712 and authorizing the issuance of $2,868,712 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Gavaris?
No.
Green? Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Aye.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
No.
McCullough?
Yes.
Nolan?
I'd just like to explain my yes vote, which is to say how grateful I am to those legislators from more populous parts of the county for this money going for this mobile command vehicle, which is going to be life-saving for the more remote rural parts of the county, which is a lot of our county. So this is really important for a county of this size to have this equipment. And I have a respect for those who don't think we necessarily need to bond for it. I also think it's important to go ahead and bond for it and get this vehicle.
Roberts?
Yes.
Sperry?
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Walz?
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 716, amending the 2025-2030 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 675, Sheriff's Office Axon Jail Body Camera Purchase, amending the 2025 Capital Fund Budget, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes with two no's, legislators McCullough and Hewitt.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Bond resolution 717 goes with that. That's authorizing the issuance of $217,520 bonds of the County of Ulster, New York to pay the cost of the purchase of additional Axon body cameras for jail use in and for said county. Clinton?
Yes.
Collins?
Yes.
Corcoran?
Yes.
Criswell?
Yes.
Gavaris?
No.
Green?
Yes.
Hansett?
Yes.
Harmon?
Yes.
Hewitt?
Yes.
Kitchen?
Yes.
Kovacs?
Yes.
Levine?
Yes.
Litz?
Yes.
Lopez?
Yes.
Maloney?
No, and this is another example of one of these five new employees is somebody that we're going to send over to a school. It's another example of thousands of dollars that we have not included in what we charge these schools to give them officers, which I'm for giving them the officers, but I'm also for making the county whole.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
I'm going to be a no due to the cost.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walz.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 19-3. Resolution 718. Amending the 25-30 Capital Improvement Program, amending capital project number 616, Sheriff's Office Axon Patrol BWC, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following noes, legislators McCullough and Hewitt.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted, 20-2. Resolution 719 is the bond resolution that goes with it, authorizing the purchase of Axon body cameras for patrol use for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $20,798, and authorizing the issuance of $20,798 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
No, it's too small a money to bond.
Corcoran.
No.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
I'm a yes, and I just wanted to say that I'm a yes because I want to purchase the cameras. I was a no on the previous resolution to make a point about giant companies and corporations. The CEO of Axon had a total compensation package of $246 million.
Kitchen.
I'm going to say no because it's too small the bond. I say the same.
Kovacs.
No.
Levine.
Pass.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
No.
Maloney.
No, it's just too small of a number. This is like two bonus checks for a not-for-profit serving food to our homeless. I mean, geez, let's just pay for it.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
I believe that passing this will give us bonding authority but not require us to obtain these bonds. And so on small amounts, I hope the executive's office will not necessarily use every authority that we give. So I'm a yes.
Roberts.
Nope.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
I'm very torn given the amounts. I'm going to vote no.
You should tell.
So I understand that people are voting no because it's a small amount. My understanding is that these are all rolled into large bonds that we want them to be rolled together so that we get a more favorable rate on them. So these small amounts actually do contribute to a larger whole that gives us a better rate. And so I'm a yes on this, and that's why.
Walls.
No.
No. That was a no, right, Legislator Walls?
No.
No. Okay. Levine.
Madam Clerk, can I get the roll right now?
Right now, it is 11 yeses and 10 noes.
I'm a yes.
The resolution is defeated. You need 16 votes for a bond. So that would be 12 yeses and 10 noes. I'm right. Just in case we didn't screw anything up yet, the meeting is not over. Okay. Okay. So that brings us to the next resolution, which is also a bond resolution.
No, 720.
720 was moved to consent. You adopted it in consent.
Thank you.
721 is authorizing the acquisition of a Marine Sonic Arc Explorer MK2 system in and for the County of Ulster, New York, at a maximum estimated cost of $74,542, and authorizing the issuance of $74,542 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
No.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
I'm a no. It's not as simple as just rolling it all into one. Part of that is true, but there are interest rates and other things come in. We do end up losing money. Sometimes it's
beneficial to bond when you consider everything. Sometimes it's hard to tell if it's going to be because you don't even know for years. Other times it definitely does cost us money. So even we're rolling them together, we have all this sitting money. You know, it's let's pay off a lot of this and stop with the bonding nonsense.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
This is another life-saving piece of equipment. I really appreciate the sheriff's dive team and the sheriff's office for pursuing this important, innovative equipment. I'm a yes.
Roberts.
I'm going to be a no on this.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart.
Yes.
Uchitel.
Yes.
And Walls.
Yes.
The resolution is adopted 19-3. Okay, not a bond resolution, is 722, amending the 25-30 capital improvement program, establishing capital project number 719, Axon in-car camera systems, amending the 2025 capital fund budget, Ulster County Sheriff.
On the resolution?
On the resolution, we are a short yes with the following noes, legislators McCullough and Hewitt.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 20-2. Resolution 723, the last bond resolution for this evening, authorizing the purchase and installation of Axon in-camera car system for the County of Ulster, New York at a maximum estimated cost of $669,922 and authorizing the issuance of $669,922 bonds of said county to pay the cost thereof. My lists are so messy. I need a new one. Okay. Clinton.
Yes.
Collins.
Yes.
Corcoran.
Yes.
Criswell.
Yes.
Gavaris.
Yes.
Green.
Yes.
Hansett.
Yes.
Harmon.
Yes.
Hewitt.
Yes.
Kitchen.
Yes.
Kovacs.
Yes.
Levine.
Yes.
Litz.
Yes.
Lopez.
Yes.
Maloney.
No.
McCullough.
Yes.
Nolan.
Yes.
Roberts.
Yes.
Sperry.
Yes.
Stewart?
Yes.
Uchitel?
Yes.
And Walls?
Yes.
I just want to check, Legislator Lopez, that was a yes, not a pass, or was that a pass? It was a yes?
That was a yes.
Perfect. Thank you so much. The resolution is adopted 20-2. The last resolution tonight is pulled from consent, and that is 729, authorizing Director of Budget to make certain transfers of funds, Department of Budget.
Legislator Maloney.
I'm a yes on this. I just want everybody to know that we used to give Burt Goldnick, the head of finance, the ability to move money all around the $400 million budget for years and years. We talked about it, it was brought up, and I think it was basically Chair Gavaris that finally made sure that we have a simple resolution where the head of finance literally tells us where they're moving all this money to make the budget right. You know, they're not allowed to just take $500,000 from some over-budgeted line in some other department and move it over to something else without a conversation. So this is a very good thing, and maybe the first year we're finally doing it this way. And I think John gets a lot of credit for that.
On the resolution.
On the resolution, we are a short yes.
Short yes.
The resolution is adopted 22-0.
Okay, now we move on to public comment period. These are public comments on matters not before the legislature this evening. So matters not before the legislature this evening. I want to remind everyone that you have 2 minutes to speak, and this period is on issues not before the legislature this evening. We encourage you to speak, and we ask that everyone please keep their comments respectful. Clerk Fabella, do we have anybody signed up?
We do. We have 6 speakers signed up.
All right.
The first speaker actually signed up through email, so I'm not sure if she's here. Poppy Cannon Reese. Perfect.
Good evening.
Hi, my name is Poppy Cannon Reese. I live in the town of Warsing. I'm here to state our opposition to the UCRRA landfill sites that are in Warsing. The Milk Road site is directly across from my property. The Sandberg Creek runs through the site and into I retired here 3 years ago. I bought over 150 acres. I have a 2-acre pond. The Beer Kill runs through my property into the pond and into Ellenville. The Sandberg Creek runs into my pond. So I have 593 signatures on petitions opposing. I have 35 neighbors on an email chain that all oppose. I now know all my neighbors. A lot of us have moved here. Some people are weekenders. A lot of people are building in the area because we saw opportunity. We saw land that we could afford to do something with. And I'm really tired of hearing nobody wants a landfill in their backyard, because I don't want a landfill in my backyard. You know, I have heard that Mark Ryder is trying to get legislators to support the landfills being put in Wolworthing, and I would encourage you not to support that. We're worried about the waterways. We're worried about we have deer, fox, birds, everything on our lands. We have agricultural sites. On the site that is, oh, I have 25 seconds. I'm going to read a quote from Mark Brubaker, who bought 350 acres and built on the site that they're proposing. He says, "I strongly oppose the proposed landfill at the Milk Road site, where I own the majority of the land. This property has been actively preserved for wildlife and agriculture. I do not consent to access for viability studies. I will continue to protect its natural integrity." I just feel like that's the end of my time, but please consider other sites other than Milk Road. I know you're down to the last two sites, but our neighborhood is very upset about this site. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is Ruben Bouchard.
Hi, everybody. I just wanted to echo what Poppy said. And I realize it's kind of a challenge, like, who wants a landfill in their backyard? Nobody does. But I feel like, considering our area, Ellenville, it's like an area that is kind of up and coming, and it's like a place where it seems like it's underdeveloped, and there's a chance for it to grow. One of the reasons we chose to buy our house in that area is because it's a diverse group of people. You know, I come up from the city, and I'm not one of the COVID people that came over and took over. I wanted to be a part of the community, and this is a community that seems to be changing and growing. And I just see that if there's a landfill, then all of a sudden it's going to shut everything down. And I think it's going to create more depression than is needed. So I don't know where to put a landfill, but I would prefer it not to be where we are. So that's it. Thanks.
Thank you.
The next speaker signed up is William Kearney Sevier. Okay. The next speaker signed up is Alona Ross.
Good evening.
Hi. So earlier you were talking about how some of you mentioned that, you know, one side votes one way and the other side votes another way, and you kind of do that reflexively. And after I'm done with what I'm going to be proposing, the same thing is probably going to happen, and you're going to ignore the science that will inform what I'm asking you to write about. And why should you vote on? And why should you care? My name is Alona Ross. I have stage 4 metastatic cancer, and the reason you should care is that more than 50% of you are probably going to be diagnosed with cancer at some point, and of those, the majority of you will die of it, as did Nina Pozchivak, and as will I, years before our time. What I'm going to ask you to, at some point, not yet tonight, I'm going to ask you memorializing resolutions for various subjects, and they're going to deal with things like universal health care. They're going to deal with supporting RFK for HHS. They're going to deal with regulating substances that are carcinogens that Ulster County is absolutely lousy with. They're going to deal with asking various legislators to not accept money from big ag and big pharma. These are all memorial, you know, some you can actually maybe do something with, but a lot will just be memorializing. You will certainly get opposition from the county, from agencies within the county, as you will from within the state. And I would just like to remind you of Upton Sinclair's quote, that it is very difficult to educate someone if his salary depends on not being educated about it. Thank you.
Thank you.
The next speaker is Everett Williams.
Nope.
No, Mr. Williams. How about the last speaker signed up is Tanae Wood.
Good evening.
Hi.
Good.
I just wanted to say a couple of things because this is my first meeting here, and I'm not speaking as a union rep or anything like that, so I don't want anyone to think that, but as a person who is unionized, I see all of the money that's being voted on and spent for certain things, which is amazing, but I've had to apply for HEAP, and I work for the county, and I was refused because of the fact, not because I didn't, you know, I made too much, because I don't, but because I have to live in an RV. And according to the county, it is a mobile unit, therefore they will not approve me for propane to heat my home, because it is my home. So I find it absolutely deplorable that the union even has to worry about things like this, that a employee of the county has to worry about how she's going to heat her home because of the fact that the guidelines are so antiquated and the employees of the county are not paid as well as they should be. We all work hard and we work full time, and it is disgusting that I have to apply for assistance when I work as hard as I do. And these men and women that all work for the county are all struggling. So I'm not speaking for everyone. I can only personally speak for myself, but I just find it disgusting that I'm watching all of this money go to all of these places when there's other places that some of it could go also. And my last thing in my last 20 seconds is that this is my first meeting. You talk about decorum, and I'm sorry, no disrespect, but these two people up here have shown more disrespect to the legislators out there than I've seen in a very long time. They laughed when they commented if they didn't agree, and they took things very personally. Thank you.
Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Yes, sir.
Good evening. My name is Chad McPeak. I'm an employee of the county, public works sides of it. And what I'm about to talk about echoes what this woman just shared. So last week there was a piece of information put up looking to right a wrong, as some have shared during their qualification on how they were going to vote, whether it was a yes or a no. And it was a topic of 570 across the board, which you may have heard in the past, but it was particular to a part of Public Works that did not receive it. You know, I do appreciate the people that voted yes. I do appreciate the people that voted no, because I understand you're elected officials and you have to make that decision. But I can't speak loudly enough to what that woman just shared with, because nobody in the county makes the money they deserve to make. I have copies of 2024 salary disbursements from entry level to longevity 28. And just to highlight something quick, so longevity 24 to longevity 28, which is a four-year gap of no increases on paper, other than what the union is able to negotiate. It makes a staggering increase of 46 cents over 4 years, from 2480 to 2526. So oftentimes you see these numbers come across and you don't know what they are. Maybe you've never looked at the contract. Maybe you don't know the disparity that people have. I have three people that work directly under me, one of which just had an anniversary. And I'm not going to say who he is. I'll just say his monetary amount was minimal, at 24 and change. And I painstakingly had to tell him that, congratulations, thank you for another year of service. You are now making 64 cents more than you did last year. So you're making still less than $25 an hour and expected to do stuff to the standards and to the list that you guys have no clue. You know, most of these desks were built by people of my crew. That one specifically for a gentleman who had some disabilities, so I made sure it was ADA compliant. And you know, I'll walk you through the county projects we have done on my time, without pay, to show you what we do, so that way you can understand. Like when you're allocating money, think about it, right? Like, because if you're going grocery shopping, at least I know, I just spent $7 on eggs, right? Not because it's a luxury item, it's because it's something I need, right? And to throw millions and millions of dollars, which, you know, for the law enforcement, I get it. You know, this camera sometimes answers whether or not it was right or wrong and what they did.
Sir, thank you so much. I'm going to ask
welcome.
You to wrap up your comments. Thank you.
So I appreciate your consideration. Like I said, that one piece of legislation was, or that one amendment was put up. I will reference the fact that in 2022 there was.
Sir, I'm going to ask you to wrap up. Thank you.
So stop
I appreciate
it.
Your time is up.
Can I borrow time?
Thank you. No, sorry. Thank you, though.
Thank you.
All right. Anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature? No, I'm sorry. It doesn't work that way. Is there anybody else who would like to speak on issues not before the legislature this evening? All right, seeing none, I'm going to close public comment.
Chair,
I'm
going to
call on Legislator Stewart to please read the name of community members who have recently passed. No, we don't need that.
Thank you, Chair. So tonight the meeting is adjourned in memory of the following individuals. Edward F. Jennings, Jr., a former legislator from Wawarsing. Pastor Donald Moore, of Kingston. Glenn A. Beretta of Marlborough. Gary L. Manx, Sr. of Marlborough. Rosalie Bunt of Milton. Walter D. Elmore of High Falls. Jessica H. Feth, of High Falls. Cantor Robert Cohen of Kingston. Lawrence D. Rosselli of Napanock. Gary Johnston of Kingston. Herman S. Crawley, Ellenville. Paul Van Ripper, Wallkill. Robert Edge of Kingston and Anthony Mazuka of Kingston.
Legislator Green.
I just would like to speak on behalf of Pastor Donald Moore. Don and his brother Jerry used to play around in Woodstock, wonderful music, but always infused with a sense of spirituality. And he passed recently, but everyone who was in the room around Pastor Donald Moore was inspired. He was just a man of great kindness and vision. And because of their singing background, in the obituary it said that he ministered by song.
Mm.
So he will be greatly missed, and he's made a huge contribution to this community over the years. Thank you.
Thank you. I just have a few words I'd like to say. As we bring this December legislative session to a close, I just want to take a moment to reflect on all that we've accomplished together and express my heartfelt gratitude to each of you. This chamber stands as a testament to the strength of our democracy and the ability of individuals from diverse perspectives to come together in service of a shared purpose. Whether through long debates, sometimes very long debates, collaborative compromises, or quiet, diligent efforts behind the scenes, your commitment to our mission has been unwavering. I also want to take a moment to express my deepest appreciation to the legislative staff who work tirelessly to support everything we do. Their professionalism, dedication, and attention to detail make our work possible. And they are the unsung heroes behind every success we celebrate here today. To our staff, thank you for your exceptional service and for being the backbone of this chamber. This year we faced challenges that tested our resolve and opportunities that allowed us to dream big for the future of our county. From addressing housing insecurity to advancing efforts for sustainable growth, supporting vital social services, and investing in much-needed infrastructure projects, we've made significant strides to serve the people of Ulster County with integrity and compassion. I'm deeply grateful for your passion, ideas, and tireless work ethic. Together, we've demonstrated what is possible when we put the needs of our community first. Your dedication does not go unnoticed, and your efforts make a meaningful difference in the lives of so many. As we head into the new year, let us carry forward the momentum we've built, the lessons we've learned, and the relationships we've strengthened. Let us continue to be guided by the principles of service, respect, and collaboration, ensuring that Ulster County remains a place where every resident feels heard, valued, and supported. Thank you for all that you do individually and collectively for the betterment of our community. It's been an honor to work alongside you. Let's leave here tonight proud of what we've accomplished and eager to continue building a legacy of progress, compassion, and resilience for the people of Ulster County. Wishing you and your families and the entire legislative staff a joyous holiday season and a happy and healthy new year. Thank you. The next meeting, the 2025 organizational meeting of the Ulster County Legislature, will be held on Tuesday, January 14th, 2025 at 6:30 p.m. in the Legislative Chambers, 6th floor of the Ulster County Office Building, 244 Fair Street, Kingston, New York. Can I have a motion to adjourn?
Mr. Chairman, I'll make a motion to adjourn this session.
And is there a second? All in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? This meeting is adjourned.